Welcome back to The Good PM Life, the podcast where we explore the art and science of project management to help you thrive in your career. Hey, I'm Sandy Lawler, and today we're going to dive into one of the most critical aspects of project management, leadership and motivation. So today we're going to explore different leadership styles. We're going to talk about how they impact your projects. We're going to also share practical techniques for motivating your team. So, you know, whether you're a seasoned project manager or you're just really starting out, you have to understand leadership and motivation because it can make a significant difference in your success. Let's go ahead and get started. So what do you think leadership is? What really is your definition of leadership? I mean, leadership in project management really is not about being the boss. I want to make that abundantly clear. But it's about guiding, inspiring, and enabling your team to deliver their best work. Because like we've talked in previous episodes, your job is to bring that project to completion. And it's important to know that the way you lead, like your leadership style, can have actually a really big and profound impact on your team's performance. It can have an impact on the project outcomes and overall workplace culture. Let's start by exploring some of those common leadership styles that you might encounter or even maybe embody yourself. All right, first, we've got the autocratic leadership style. So think of this as my way or the highway approach. Now, these autocratic leaders, they make decisions independently with very little or maybe no input at all from the team. They provide very clear directives, that is of their own opinion, and they expect their instructions to be followed without any questions. So there is a positive to this. You know, this style can actually be effective in situations where very quick decision making is very critical or in very high stakes environments where there's little or to no room for error. So let me give you an example of where this autocratic leadership style actually comes in handy. So imagine a construction project where a bridge needs to be repaired urgently. And the reason it needs to be repaired urgently is because there was this really severe storm that went through the area and damaged the bridge. So the project is critical because that bridge connects two major parts of the city. And the closure has actually led to significant traffic disruptions, which actually was affecting thousands of commuters every day. The city declared it an emergency repair, and the timeline was very tight. They said that the repairs must be completed within 2 weeks to restore normal traffic flow and to ensure public safety. So the project manager, and his name is Alex, he's leading a team of engineers. He's got construction workers and subcontractors. Now, given the high stakes, the safety concerns, and the tight deadline, Alex decided to adopt an autocratic leadership style because he wanted to get the job done efficiently and without delays. Now, this leadership style was very effective. And the reason it was effective in this situation is because it was due to the urgent nature of the project and the need for that rapid decision making. It actually allowed Alex to maintain control. He was able to make some quick decisions, and he was able to ensure that the project met its critical deadline of 2 weeks. Now, there are downsides to this autocratic leadership style. The autocratic leadership can actually stifle creativity. It can actually also demotivate those team members who feel like their voices aren't even heard. So it's really essential to strike that balance, even if you're inclined more towards that style, but you have to make an effort to seek that feedback and involve your team in that decision-making process whenever it's really possible and really whenever it makes sense. Next, let's take a look at this democratic leadership style. So this approach values collaboration and input from your team. So in this style, decisions are often made very collectively. This is where team members feel valued because they feel like their opinions are heard and they feel like their opinions matter. So the democratic leaders foster this all-inclusive environment where their ideas are openly shared and then everyone really feels like they have a stake in the project's success. I personally love this style. This, to me, fosters a teamwork type environment for every project. So I love gathering input from the team because look, I'm not the total expert on any project. I have some expertise in my role, but then you've got members of the team who are experts in their area and their opinions and professional expertise actually matter, guys. You have to take into account what the team is saying. Then once you gather all that input collectively, then you can make a decision. So imagine a marketing team at a tech company, and they're preparing to launch this new product. It's like this really cool smart home device that integrates AI to help users manage their daily routines. So this product is super innovative, and the team's goal is to create this compelling marketing campaign that will resonate with potential customers. It will also differentiate the product from its competitors and ultimately will drive sales. So the team includes marketing specialists, it'll include designers, content creators, social media managers, data analysts. Each one of them will have a unique skill set and insight. So the project manager, and we'll call her Sarah, she leads this team using a democratic leadership style. And Sarah really values input from her team. And she really believes that her best ideas come from collaboration and open communication. So she actively involves her team in the decision-making process, which creates an environment where everyone feels heard and engaged. And as a result of this, what it does is it creates this highly creative and cohesive campaign that actually resonates very well with the target audience. The sales exceed initial projections. The marketing campaign is praised internally as one of the most innovative efforts, and the team feels super proud and motivated knowing that their contributions directly influence the campaign's success. So how exciting would it be to be a part of that team, to know that your expertise and your knowledge contributed to the success to a company? Another big advantage to this democratic leadership style is that team members are actually more likely to be motivated and engaged when they have a say in how things are done. But this style can actually sometimes lead to slower decision-making processes because there's so many people involved, because it also requires consensus and consultation. So it's a great approach when creativity and teamwork are needed, but you have to really make sure that discussions remain super focused and super productive. Another popular style is called the transformational leadership style. Now, this style inspires and motivates their team by creating a vision for the future, and you encourage everyone to reach their full potential. So they're super charismatic, they're very forward thinking, and they really focus on very big picture goals, while at the same time, they're empowering their team to take ownership of their tasks. So it does sort of sound like the democratic leadership style where you are gathering input from the team, but it kind of takes it one step further. It's asking people to empower themselves to reach their full potential. Now, let me give you an example of this transformational leadership style. So imagine a mid-sized software company, and they're struggling to keep up with these industry changes. The company actually had been losing a lot of market share due to very outdated products. They've got very low employee morale, and they've got a major lack of motivation. So the CEO steps down, and the board hires Emma. And Emma is a new CEO who is actually known for her visionary leadership and ability to turn companies around within the industry. Now, Emma is a transformational leader. From the moment she steps in, her goal is not just to make incremental improvements, but she wants to completely revitalize the company by inspiring employees. She wants to foster innovation and drive a cultural shift. Now, how does she do that? She created a vision for change. She empowered and inspired the team. She challenged the status quo, and she recognized and celebrated achievements. So under her leadership, the company undergoes this dramatic turnaround. Employee engagement and morale soar, and the company quickly becomes known for its cutting-edge products. So within 2 years, this company launches several new AI-driven software solutions, and they receive industry accolades and significantly boost their market share. So Emma's vision and her transformational leadership style, they inspire a culture of continuous innovation, and it positioned the company as a leader in the field. But while transformational leaders can dramatically increase team morale and the productivity by connecting the team members' work to a much greater purpose, this style actually requires continual energy and enthusiasm. And if it's not really balanced with very clear direction, it can sometimes leave some team members feeling kind of lost or maybe even unsupported. All right, now let's talk about servant leadership style. So servant leaders, they put their team's needs first, and then they focus on developing and supporting their team members. They actually lead by example. They listen actively, and they're always there to provide the resources, the guidance, and the encouragement. So this style actually builds a lot of trust. It fosters such a strong sense of community, and it can be super highly effective in project environments where the collaboration and mutual respect are paramount. Okay. All right. Let me give you an example of this. So imagine a healthcare organization, And this healthcare organization is facing some significant challenges with employee burnout and very high turnover rates among its nursing staff. The hospital's chief nursing officer, which is the CNO, Maria, she recognizes that these issues are affecting patient care and staff morale. Okay. Maria decides to adopt a servant leadership approach where she focuses on supporting her team. She also wants to address their needs. And lastly, she wants to create a more compassionate work environment. So Maria really believes that the key to improving the hospital's performance really lies in putting her team's needs first. So what she does is she leads by example. She prioritizes the well-being of her staff, and she empowers them to provide the very best possible care for their patients, because that's really the ultimate goal for them, right? So what does she do? She listens to understand. She started by holding these open forums and one-on-one meetings with her nursing staff because she really wanted to understand the challenges, the frustrations, and the ideas that they had. She also removed obstacles. So after these meetings and after she heard about the heavy administrative burden placed on these nurses, Maria then worked to streamline those processes. She also provided support and resources. And lastly, she also empowered the team. Now, Maria's servant leadership style, it leads to a very noticeable improvement in both staff morale and patient care quality, which was her goal. The nurses feel more supported. They actually feel valued and empowered, which resulted in lower burnout rates and also significantly reduced turnover rates. Patient satisfaction scores improve, you know, because the nurses are more engaged and they're able to provide better care. The servant leadership's approach promotes a very positive work environment, as you saw in that example. And it often leads to really high levels of employee satisfaction and retention. But here's the challenge with this type of style. It can be challenging to balance serving your team with meeting those project deadlines and deliverables because there are so many things that you have to consider. So the key here is to provide the support while you're maintaining accountability and keeping that project on track. Are you thinking about becoming a project manager? Well, I've put together a free guide with the 5 essential things that you need to know before getting started. So grab your copy now by clicking the link in the show notes below and take the first step towards your new career today. Okay, let's talk about one last leadership style. The last one we have is called the laissez-faire leadership style. Now, this leadership style is probably the most hands-off approach. So the laissez-faire leaders, they provide very minimal supervision. They allow their team members to make their own decisions. Now, when does this type of style work? This type of style works best when you have a team that's highly skilled, they're super motivated, they thrive on independence, and lastly, they need very little oversight. Now, let me give you an example of this type of leadership. So imagine a technology startup that's really known for its innovative products and they have really cutting-edge solutions in software development. So this company is small, but it's growing rapidly. And they have a team of very highly skilled and highly motivated software engineers, designers, and product managers. Now, the founder and CEO, and his name is Mark, he's a visionary, and he believes that the best ideas come when people are given the freedom to explore and to create without any really constant oversight. So Mark decides to adopt a laissez-faire leadership style because he trusts his team to manage their own projects. They are able to make decisions and they drive the company's innovation. But he provides them very minimal supervision because he wants the team members to take full ownership of their work. So how does he do this? So like I mentioned, there's minimal oversight and he's got a very hands-off approach. He sets very high-level goals for them and priorities, but he leaves the specifics of how to achieve those goals totally entirely up to the team. So he doesn't involve himself in the day-to-day decision-making process. Next thing he did is he gave them full autonomy in project management. So the teams at the startup are given full autonomy to manage their projects really from start to end. There's no daily stand-up meetings or very strict timelines imposed by Mark. Instead, teams set their own deadlines. Okay, next. He wanted to encourage them to take their own initiative and self-direct. So what I mean by that is Mark encouraged his team members to pursue side projects and these like new product ideas that interest them, even if they weren't really directly related to the company's goals. So this approach fostered a culture of innovation, of entrepreneurship within the company. It really got those, for lack of a better word, got the creative juices flowing. Lastly, he provided them very limited feedback. Mark really believes in letting the team learn from their successes and their failures, so he rarely intervenes unless there's some sort of major issue that needed his attention. And then lastly, what he did was he provided the resources, but he didn't provide any direction. So Mark ensured that his teams had access to the best resources, so like high-performance computers, cutting-edge software, funds for professional development, but he never did dictate how those resources would be used. So Mark's laissez-faire approach led to a very highly creative and dynamic work environment. So their freedom to innovate without those rigid guidelines really fostered a strong sense of ownership and motivation among the employees. Could you imagine having a boss that basically left you alone to do whatever you wanted to do because they trusted you so much? That would be so exciting. But I have to tell you, there is a bit of a downside to this laissez-faire leadership style. Sometimes you really do need clear direction because this style can quickly lead to confusion and also a really like a lack of progress because it's very crucial for the laissez-faire leaders to set those expectations very clearly up front and provide the support as needed. But if they're never around, can they really provide you the support that you need? Even if they're taking a backseat in the day-to-day management, I'm not sure how well that's going to work. Okay, now that we've covered the different leadership styles, it's time to talk about motivating your team. Because honestly, no matter what your leadership style is, whether it's democratic to servant leadership, motivation is really key to achieving the project's success. So motivation actually goes beyond just meeting those deadlines and hitting the targets. It's really about creating this environment where your team feels valued, they feel engaged and committed to project goals. I think it goes without saying that any leader or project manager on any team or even in any company would want your team to feel valued, they want to feel engaged, and also fully committed to the project's goals because in the end, it affects your bottom line. And one of the most effective ways to motivate your team is through recognition and praise. People love to feel appreciated for their hard work. You have to take the time to acknowledge your team's achievements. Whether it's hitting a milestone, maybe solving a challenging problem, or simply just by putting in the extra effort. Because recognition doesn't have to be grand. A quick thank you or a shout out in a team meeting can actually go a long way in boosting morale. Another powerful motivator is empowerment. We mentioned this earlier when we were going through some of the different leadership styles. Empowering your team means giving them the autonomy to make decisions and take ownership of the work. So when a team member feels trusted and empowered, they're much more likely to take that initiative. They want to be a little bit more creative and go that extra mile. It's important to provide that guidance, but it's also important to take a step back and let your team shine. They are professionals. You hired them for a reason. Now, with all that being said, you have to set clear goals and expectations. It's absolutely crucial because ambiguity can be a major demotivator. So ensure your team understands what's exactly expected of them and how their work contributes to the bigger picture. Break down those large goals into like smaller, manageable chunks and tasks and celebrate each achievement along the way. This not only helps keep your team on track, but it also really provides a sense of progress and momentum and pride. Next, let's not forget about open communication. A motivated team is one that feels heard and involved. I kind of am sensing a pattern in my talk today. The team wants to feel heard. They want to be involved. You want to encourage your team to voice their ideas, their concerns, and even their feedback. Because regular check-ins, your open door policies, and active listening can really help build that culture of trust and transparency. So when team members know that their opinions matter, they're much more likely to be engaged and motivated. Another really fantastic way to motivate your team is to provide them opportunities for growth. You know, no one really wants to feel stuck in a dead-end role. Offer your team those opportunities to learn some new skills, maybe take on some new challenges, and then develop professionally. This could actually be through training sessions, you could provide some mentorship, or simply just assign new responsibilities that align with some of their career goals. And then finally, never underestimate the impact of a team-building activity. A strong team dynamic can significantly enhance motivation and performance. You want them to act as a team where they actually sort of kind of care about each other. So whether it's like a simple team lunch, a fun group exercise, or more structured team building event, these activities can help build those relationships. They can foster the collaboration and create a very positive work environment, which is really what you want. So let's go ahead and sum it all up. started out with talking about different leadership styles. And I hope that you understand that your leadership style plays a very critical and crucial role in shaping your team's performance and their motivation. So whether you're autocratic or democratic, we talked about transformational, servant, or laissez-faire, the key really here is to be adaptable and responsive to your team's needs. We've talked a lot about being adaptable in project management. Here, it's no different. And there are times where you need to have a more autocratic leadership style depending on the project. Sometimes you need more of a laissez-faire where you let the teams do what they need to do. But whatever leadership style you choose, it's easy to change, guys. You can be adaptable in any project situation. So I also want you to remember to pair your leadership approach with effective motivation techniques. You want to be able to recognize your team. You want to empower them to make decisions. You've got to clearly communicate, maybe even give them some growth opportunities and also some team building. With the leadership style combined with the motivation technique, you will definitely have a winning combination. Leadership and motivation are really at the heart of a very successful project. So it's not just about getting the work done. It's about inspiring people and building trust and creating an environment where your team can thrive. Because remember, the best leaders don't just lead. They actually lift others up. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today's episode for The Good PM Life. I hope you found the insights super helpful and inspiring about leadership styles and motivation. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe and leave us a review. And if you have any questions or topics you want us to cover, go ahead and leave a comment below. So until next time, keep managing those projects and making things happen. See you soon.